But if we didn't have power, how could we have helped ourselves to preserve the milk?
And people mainly use the power in the night. That is for domestic usage. And this creates a problem in itself. So there's a mismatch.
When I'm to compare the expenses between the hydro and the solar for a farmer should see actually 12 with hydro.
Hello and welcome to the New Vision Daily podcast around Uganda with me, Razia Athman. Today we follow Dan Chieswa's journey into coffee cultivation. We'll hear from Chieswa and other farmers about the challenges they faced before solar power transformed their farming practices, enabling irrigation, water pumping, and increased productivity. Thanks for joining us for part one of our series, The Kalangala Power Divide. Clear skies and a sunny Sunday afternoon make for a smooth sail to Sese Islands. In 4 hours from Entebbe, the ferry docks at Lutoboka Bay. It's 6 p.m. and there's a buzz of activities as islanders prepare to close for the day. This is Kalangala, a district with 66,000 people. The archipelago of 84 islands was mostly dark until 2015, when the Bukunzindu power plant was established. It's a 1.6 megawatt solar diesel hybrid power plant located in Mugwe that supplies power on the main island Bugala in Lake Victoria. And it's where we start off the next day.
There are 2,832 solar panels installed here with the capacity to generate up to 665 kilowatt peak.
It's blazing hot and the solar panels are automatically turning slowly to the direction of radiation. That is captured and turned into electricity. The power station is sophisticated with generators to supply power to the grid.
This is a component for the pyranometer. It's just used for studying the conditions of the sun, temperature.
In total, 1,000 kilowatts of thermal and 600 of solar are generated from here and supplied to 3,000 households. Emmanuel Ongom is the power plant operations and maintenance engineer at Bukunzindu.
In the beginning, when KS started operating, they inherited 451 customers from the previous operator on the island. And so the power plant capacity was quite big for its size. The growth and extension of power to the different parts of the island brought in a shift in kind of in the usage of energy. That means that customers increase in capacity, and that created a change in the way of operations. So solar turned out to be contributing 30%.
So much more power can be generated, but low consumption during the day is a challenge.
Solar is able to cater for the needs of generation, like for usage, for factories and everything, but solar has a downside to it. The downside to solar generation is storage. The energy is available when people don't need it. Like in the afternoon hours, you find that usage of solar is quite low, yet it's clearly very available for use. And people mainly use the power in the night, that is for domestic usage. And this creates a problem in itself. So there's a mismatch in its availability and usage.
Joseph Mulindwa is the public relations and marketing manager of Kalangala Infrastructure Services, which operates Bukunzindu.
KI is the public private partnership. It is a treaty company. As a result of introducing oil palm growing, government realized that they need also to improve the infrastructure, of course, to improve the livelihoods of the farmers. As they grow palm, as well they have power, so they have also good transport, they have also clean and safe water. From 2006, that was agreement, signing and what, but the actual supply of power started in 2015. Of course, we started with that small number of 400.
The impact of solar energy can be felt on this island. Islanders who mostly relied on fishing and quarrying have embraced farming. Many now rely heavily on the electricity provided by the plant. Let us now head to Bujumbura to meet Dan Chieswa, a farmer who has been cultivating coffee since 2020. The 36-year-old wasn't born here, but this is home now.
When I came from my homeland, I came to islands, I decided to grow coffee because even at our home place, we used to grow it. Yes, I grew up seeing my parents growing them. They used to get money for paying our school fees from this coffee, and I liked it so much. That's why I inherited it, that when I came to Ireland, I bought land and decided to grow coffee.
Coffee demands substantial energy for processing. From drying, hulling to grinding, it requires loads of power. But thanks to the solar energy available and the Sese Coffee Center, Chieswa can process his coffee easily.
Even if I have many bags and sacks of coffee, I just bring them here, they process it, because power is available. And even to communicate, it is easy, because my phone is fully charged 24/7 because of this power.
Bajulizi Ronald operates the hala just outside Kalangala town. On a given day, they can haul over 100 bags of coffee.
In a day when it's a season, we can process like 3 tons to 10 tons of this coffee. However, there are some days where it's not season and we get between 300 kilograms to 100 kilograms. Unlike in the initial stages where power was stable, nowadays it has some glitches, though they don't take much longer. It takes like 3 to 5 minutes and return back.
This increase in agricultural activity has had ripple effects on Uganda's coffee. In the year ending July 2023, the country's export volume went up by 25%, reaching 5.83 million bags worth $867 million. Compared to oil palm, which generates at least $280,000 annually on Sese Islands alone, there are now over 1,000 coffee farmers in the district. According to the Alliance to Save Energy, making a cup of coffee consumes 4 megajoules or about a kilowatt hour of power, for which Bukunzindu charges less than half a dollar. That is a power tariff of 1,213 shillings for domestic customers and 1,608 for commercial customers per unit. And I'm trying my best to be true. This sound is not playing for people's entertainment. The songs come Fred Bada's cows down, and that too needs power. Bada is a dairy farmer in Bujumbura sub-county. He retired from politics to venture into agriculture. He has access to power, but the innovations he wants implemented on his 6-acre farm require even more energy.
Power is very important for us when adding value, because when you add, you get more money from the same products. So we do yogurt. We also ghee. We also doing ghee and butter from milk, and all the machines, the milk separator, the fridges, the churner, the milk churner, the pasteurizer. They all require power to do them efficiently, faster. Because if we didn't have power, how could we have helped ourselves to preserve the milk?
With solar, Bada monitors all activities on his farm remotely.
We used to be challenged when we didn't have power. In value addition, in processing, and even in management. Because I can't keep on the farm every day. But even if I go away for a week in Kampala, I keep managing my farm well. I call my people in the farm, and at the same time I'm seeing them on my phone, seeing what they're using the cameras. But you know what they want to do if they want to deceive me? They switch off the cameras, the power.
Under the Electricity Access Scale-Up project, at least 94 megawatts of PV capacity has been installed in the country of 46 million people, offering a glimpse of hope for off-grid solar solutions. The Sese Farm Institute showcases the benefits of solar power with its solar-powered irrigation system. Stephen Nabasa, the principal, takes us around the demo spaces. Our tour starts at the urban farming section, where there are vertical gardens, roof gardens, suspended gardens, all showing how much one can harvest from a tiny section.
I therefore, when I'm to compare the expenses between the hydro and the solar for a farmer should say actually 12 with hydro, because with hydro, it is too expensive. First of all, too expensive.
6:30 p.m., we finally get to the borehole, just next to the main gates of the institute. Two large solar panels a few meters away power the pump, which pushes water to a tank connected to pipes running down the gardens. A tap is switched on, and in a split second, fountains of water rise over the crops grown.
Kalangala has a wet climate, yeah, but when we experience drought, in less than 2 weeks, the sunshine that we get or the drought that we get is more dangerous than even that on the mainland that has taken more than 1.5 months. So we are very, very much privileged, and we are happy, and we are so grateful to the government of the Republic of Uganda for having thought of this opportunity for Kalangala people, and particularly Sese, to benefit.
Access to electricity is increasing, now reaching 42% of the total population in Uganda, and 82% is from renewable energy.
A farmer, if uses that, it is cost effective, it is cheaper, and it means in her returns, it will actually minimize the expenses, and you'll find at the end of the day, he's benefiting, other than using the source of power, you're talking the hydro, because the hydro requires a lot of input, a lot of money to be put in, but with solar, it's a matter of installing the solar system, and you leave it, and you call it a day, and now you start pumping your water during dry season, you water your crops, and then you get the outcome, which is actually very, very, very optimal, and you meet the profit, actually maximum profit.
As the dusk sets in, the workers are switching on security lights on the premises. While expensive for individual farmers, the transformative impact of solar energy on agriculture can't be overstated. Listen to part 2 of the Kalangala Power Divide, looking at the challenges faced by farmers on islands without access to solar power. I'm Razia Osman. For more of Vision podcasts, log on to www.newvision.co.ug/podcasts or find them on the Vision Digital Experience app. This report was produced with support from the African Center for Media Excellence and the Charles Stewart Maud Foundation.